You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. In July of this year, 30,000 prisoners in California launched a hunger strike, the third since 2011, protesting the use of long-term solitary confinement. 3 weeks ago, the 100 or so remaining strikers resumed eating again as two state lawmakers agreed to hold public hearings on the conditions in California's maximum security prisons. The inmates and their advocates have also been taking their case to the courts. In 2012, the Center for Constitutional Rights sued the CDCR, the governor of California, and the warden of Pelican Bay, arguing the prison's long-term and indefinite use of isolation of prisoners is tantamount to torture. And last week, the advocacy group argued in an Oakland courtroom that their lawsuit should be certified as a class action, which would mean that any remedies won in court would apply to all affected prisoners, not just the 10 plaintiffs in the original case. But it's not just inmates who are affected by the conditions in prison.
My brother's name is Ronnie Dewberry. That's his birth name. But he goes by the name of Sitawa Natambu Jamaha. He is housed at the Pelican Bay State Prison in Crescent City. He is in the Security Housing Unit, which is short name is The SHU. He's in The SHU.
Jamaha was one of the hunger strikers. He's been incarcerated for 33 years, 23 of them in The SHU. He spends most of his time, up to 22 hours a day, in a small windowless cell. His charge is murder, though Levin says he did not commit the crime. And like most of the prisoners in The SHU, he's been validated as belonging to a gang. Validation is controversial. It can be based on things like having a certain tattoo or reading certain literature. Levin says her brother was placed in solitary confinement after reading George Jackson's writings about Black history. Maintaining a relationship with her brother has been hard for Levin. For 15 years, she didn't visit him. She spoke about that experience for San Francisco StoryCorps.
In the early years, it was painful because I remember on one occasion when I went to go visit him, and he told me how he had to survive in there. And I was I had to leave away from the window because he was behind the window at that time. And I had to leave away from the window and give the phone to another family member and go cry because it was just too painful. He had a period of time when he wrote letters that were so angry. He was angry at his conditions. He was angry at the situation and how they validated him. He was angry. So during that time, I didn't communicate with him. I just communicated with my mother through my mother and my sister. And even when she wrote letters, I would tell her just to tell him that I said hi. You know, it was a 15-plus year span where I didn't go to visit him. I was contacted by a lawyer that was seeing Sitawa, and she had been trying to call me on the phone, but she couldn't reach me. So she sent a letter in the mail to let me know that my brother was about to go on a hunger strike. And I agreed for her to come to the house to, you know, talk with me about that and to allow me to listen to a recorded tape of his voice. I didn't think that I would be as involved as I am right now. I am very much committed to fighting for my brother's freedom.